Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Ambitious, urgent, two words that come to mind when thinking about the Charlotte area transit system's plan to expand. Ambitious because of the scale of that expansion and the price tag. Urgent because following this plan, which aims to be accomplished by 2030, requires quick action. Urgent because the region is growing fast, and the longer we wait, the more difficult it will be to accomplish, and the more expensive the project will become. Likelihood. That's another word to consider. In yesterday's Charlotte Observer, cartoonist Kevin Sires depicts CAT CEO John Lewis unveiling his plans for new transit options. He's holding the budget and sitting atop a flying pig. I would guess that for John Lewis, that must have been an unwelcome sight. But why guess when we can ask him directly? CAT CEO John Lewis joins us for the hour. Welcome back.
Thanks so much, Mike.
That tickled me a little bit yesterday, and I was so glad that you were coming in this morning.
Sure. My kids loved it.
Yeah, he's here with the man who will have his hands full if these plans get underway. Jason Lawrence is project manager for CATS. Thank you for being here too, Jason.
Thank you, Mike.
Welcome. Get a little closer to that microphone. It's your only friend in the room. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook. Get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks, and you can watch us on Facebook Live. So given the scope of this plan, and John Lewis, that you unveiled last week, did it ever occur to you that it only may happen when pigs fly?
Well, you never know. I mean, I guess, with genetic engineering, that may happen pretty quickly because we certainly plan on meeting that goal of building three corridors in 2030. So everybody keep your heads up and keep your umbrellas out because pigs will be flying.
Okay. You've been the lead transportation planner, Jason, for the transit corridors in the 2030 plan for 18 years now. And I believe you led the study to update that plan, which led to the proposals that were put forth last week, which, according to your official bio, will conclude in December of this year, the planning for this. Is there more to the plan than what was announced last week that will be worked on between now and December?
Absolutely. Well, what we showed last week were alternatives for rapid transit options for the North and West corridors. What's left to do is talking about what those corridors will do for our community. There's corridors to look at affordable housing, bike and ped improvements. There's a much more comprehensive and holistic look that we need to take at our transit corridors.
This city has a lot of plans. We talk about that a lot. The 2030 transit plan has been around for a while. When was it first formulated? I'm not sure to ask that.
Well, in 2002, when the half-cent sales tax was voted on, and that was a culmination of a number of studies that were occurring at that time. We were planning four projects to go to the community to ask for the half-cent sales tax. As we continued to develop and refine those plans, they've changed over time.
Sure.
And I also believe the time frame changed. It once was a 2020 plan that then evolved into 2030. And then the downturn in the economy really had an impact on that.
Had it remained the 2020 plan, would we have met the goals? Do you know?
Without the Great Recession, I think we would have.
Okay. And that half-cent sales tax, which is, I believe, still in effect,
went to
transit, right?
Yes.
It helped build the links.
Helped build the Blue Line extension, and the Gold Line. And it also pays for ongoing operation and maintenance of the system.
So you think about 2030, and I think, well, it's way, way off. But it's not. It's 11 and a half years from now or something like that. Is that why we updated it last week, or why you're working on an update to it?
Well, in terms of transportation planning, in terms of infrastructure planning, 11 years is about 11 days from our perspective.
Because it takes so long to do things?
It takes a good deal of time. To plan, to come to consensus on a corridor, to then go through design and engineering, to find the funding, to adjust, and then the construction of it. And so before you know it, 2030 is going to be here.
So you were on this program, John Lewis, in January, I believe, and we talked about other possible links lines to Matthews and to Lake Norman and to the airport, even to Ballantyne. This new proposal includes even more options that are different from those, in fact, in some ways. Was this proposal in the works when we spoke in January?
Or absolutely. What you're seeing here is the refinement.
What else do you have up your sleeve?
This is the refinement of the broad goals that we established. And so our board of directors, and this has been the culmination of a community discussion. And so there were five corridors established back when the 2030 plan came together. Over time, some of those corridors have changed, the mode that we were using. So originally, the Silver Line to Matthews was a bus rapid transit corridor. And over the years, we've refined that to now a light rail corridor. What we're doing now is taking those broad corridors west to the airport, north to Lake Norman, and figuring out what is the mode and the alignment that we are going to bring to the community. And that's what Jason and his group are working
Why does that take so long? I mean, and why have we changed our minds, particularly about the Silver Line to Matthews? It's going to be bus transit down the middle of Independence Boulevard. No, it's not. It's going to be going down the Monroe Road. No, it's not. It's going to be train down the Independence. No, it's going to be down Monroe. Why does it take so long to figure all this
out? Well, I think we just know more now. Okay. We know more of what light rail and what rapid transit is for the Charlotte community. And
what does that mean, you know more?
Well, we have proof of concept now. We have a Lynx Blue Line that goes to Pineville, and we have an extension that just opened to UNC Charlotte. So,
and what is that told you that you didn't know before?
That there is a strong desire for rail transit in our community.
But ridership is flat or down?
Ridership has been consistent on all of our
rail. Yeah, on rail, our ridership continues to grow. Now, bus, we've had a significant drop in our ridership and bus mode. And that, I believe, is because of the outdated nature of our system. And we are revamping our entire bus system this October with Envision My Ride. And I think that will change the trajectory of our bus ridership. But rail has been flat over the last couple of years with a tiny uptick in ridership on the Blue Line.
Did the Blue Line to the university realize its projections?
Well, when we stand it out at the beginning, we posted our one-year projections. Now, we also have to realize that the large trip generator, the university, is now out of session. And so our ridership has dipped a little bit during June, July, and I believe it'll be the same in August. Okay. But September, when the kids come back, I think we'll be back on, and we'll more than meet our one-year projections.
And the changes to the bus system, which we talked about last time you were here, is transitioning from what is now the hub-and-spoke kind of pattern to something that's going to be connecting outer areas directly to each other without having to come downtown.
Exactly.
Speeding up your ride and making you don't have to wait quite as long for the bus.
That's our hope. We're going to minimize transitions and transfers and give people more opportunities to have direct connects.
So you said just a second ago, Jason, that one of the things that you know now about transit because of the Blue Line being in full operation is you know about the desire and the usage patterns of light rail. And when John was here in January, he shared something that you said in advocating this new vision for transit. You said the original plan in the 90s estimated that 980,000 people in Mecklenburg County would be here in Mecklenburg County by 2025. We hit that number in 2014. Where are we today in 2018? And where, if the growth rate continues, where will we be by 2030?
So you hear this 44 people a day, 60 people a day.
Right.
I mean, there's an estimation of 400,000 people will be in this community by 2040. So
well over a million.
Yeah.
Almost a million and a half.
So when we look back, can kind of tell us how our future is going to be.
And when you say 40 to 60 people a day moving to is it the region or is it to the city of Charlotte?
To the city, but if you like expand it out to the region, that number is even greater.
Okay. So let's go through the proposal for people who weren't paying attention last week as they were on vacation. the light rail to the airport is something that you've been talking about and we've been talking about for a while. Now you're proposing it to take it beyond the airport to Belmont in Gaston County. This was brand new. Why?
Sure. Well, as we've been talking with our partners in the community. Essentially, the 2030 plan was a Mecklenburg County plan. The half-cent sales tax is in Mecklenburg County. The vast majority of our service is in Mecklenburg County. And as we've been looking to expand our rail service to the airport, we heard very clearly from our partners and friends in Gaston County of their interest to have rail transportation extended to Gaston. And we started having a more regional conversation. And so as we, at the high level, started hearing their interest, when we got down to the details of this corridor plan, Jason and his team started reaching out to members, officials in Gaston County, in Belmont, and in Gastonia, and hearing very clearly of their interest in rail.
Why stop it in Belmont? Why not take it to Gastonia?
Well, this is just beginning the conversation. Okay. I mean, we have a unique opportunity with NCDOT replacing the bridge across the Catawba. Mm-hmm. It's an 80-year-old
the highway bridge.
The Highway 74 bridge. So we have a unique opportunity to plan with them and to not preclude transit from going across. So going into Belmont is the beginning of that conversation.
And when would they start construction on a new bridge that you hope to be part of?
It's an environmental right now, and it'll start sometime early mid-decade next year.
I've heard people in Fort Mill say, gee, I wish this thing came to Fort Mill. That's not part of the conversation because it's a different state?
Yeah, well, I think how we are structured, now, CATCH is a unique in entity in being an entity of the city and not an individual independent agency. And so while we're looking and having regional conversations, structurally we have some challenges of owning and operating in another state.
Okay.
And so while we hear very clearly of the interest and we believe there's strong interest there, when you look at many of our riders coming into our 485 station have South Carolina plates. And so we know there's interest there, but we have to get over some of the organizational and structural challenges.
So is there a pattern that you can use? Can you use the Metro in Washington, D.C., which is in two states in the District of Columbia, as a way to figure out how to do this?
I think that's a great example. I think we got to find a better and more stable funding source than WMATA does. Paul there is working through that challenge now. But structurally, I think you've got a good model there.
So Gaston County evidently is on board because you're talking seriously about adding Belmont. Would they kick in some money? Would they kick in to the half-cent sales tax?
Well, right now we're in the planning phase, but we hope that with their interest in that, that will culminate in financial support also.
Okay. Well, one would hope. Would the city pay for that if it didn't?
I don't think so.
Okay. There were several routes to the airport, at least, being discussed when we talked about this in January. One was down, I think, Wilkinson Boulevard. The other was down West Boulevard. Have you decided on which route you'd like to see this thing go?
So our primary corridor will be Wilkinson, certainly.
Why did you reach that
decision?
I think
it's the front door of the airport, working with the airport as they develop, and the ability to coordinate with NCDOT across the Catawba River. All led to a Wilkinson Boulevard corridor.
Okay. So I read that Belmont is only 10 miles from the center of the city of Charlotte. I had no idea it was that close.
It's very close.
Yeah. Isn't 10 miles the entire length of the Blue Line?
No, of the Blue Line extension, the entire Blue Line from I-485 to UNC Charlotte is about 18.
Okay.
But we're building them in about that 9 to 10 mile increment.
So if you go out to Belmont, would the cost be comparable to what it costs to put the Blue Line to the university, or more because you'd have to cross the Catawba River?
I think we have to look at right now we're in real broad planning. We would not get into that level of detail until we get into design and engineering, which would be the next phase after this. But generally, if you're drawing a line on the map and there's nothing surprising underneath the ground or along the corridor, it'll probably be comparable.
Many more questions about getting the line to Belmont, getting the line to the airport, and we'll talk about the other lines, in the plan down Independence and the up to Huntersville and Lake Norman, and also the tunnel. Are you going to call it the Belmont Tunnel? I'll fill you in on that later.
Call it the Collins
Tunnel. We're coming right back. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. John Lewis is here. He's CEO of CATS, the Charlotte Area Transportation System, and Jason Lawrence is the project manager, a transit planner for CATS. They're both with us today. We're talking about the plans they announced last week for the expansion of CATS, and particularly light rail, the light rail component of CATS, and about going into Gaston County and taking a line down Wilkinson Boulevard to the airport. Would this line from downtown to the airport and then out to Belmont, if it ultimately goes there, would this go through the River District, which hasn't been built yet?
So initially we looked at the West Boulevard corridor, which would be the way you would get to the River District area. But there's a current ongoing study with Federal Aviation Administration about relocating West Boulevard. And the purpose of this plan was to identify a project that we could advance in a reasonable time frame. And with that, not knowing where that was going to be and wanting to serve closer to the airport, Wilkinson became the primary. We do feel that as you cross over 485 with this corridor, that you could have a spur at some point to the River District. So part of our planning going forward will be, how do we address River District?
So a spur would be some trains would go to the airport and some trains would veer off for a second, go to the River District, and then go back to the airport?
These are
how it works.
Just preliminary ideas at this point. We do know that we need to address the River District, but we do think in the short term that probably a bus solution along West would work.
Okay, and when I say to the airport, it's not really stopping at the airport. The way I understand the plan, correct me if I'm wrong, it's actually going, unlike the D.C. Metro system, which actually goes right through the parking lots at Reagan National, this would stop somewhere on West Boulevard, and there would be what to get you to the airport?
So the alignment would be on Wilkinson, and we would interact with the airport's planned people mover that they've been talking about for a number of years. So the transition would be seamless. So when you arrive at the station at the airport, you would just do a quick transfer to their service.
You know, having done this in D.C., gotten off the train, and I gotten off the plane, literally walked to the train, taken the train to where I need to go, this seems like a no-brainer to me. Is anybody against this?
We have a lot of support for the airport line.
I mean, aside from the people who own and operate the parking lots at the airport, is there anybody against this? This is a no-brainer.
Mike, I agree. I think it is absolutely a no-brainer. We're hearing from so many people. When I'm out in the community and talking about it, the first question I get is, when are you getting to the airport and how long is it going to take? But I would imagine whenever you're doing projects of this nature, there will be some people with different opinions on it.
So this line to the west is proposed, I guess, to connect the Silver Line, which takes you to Matthews. Would it be the Silver Line from Matthews to Belmont? Is that how you view
Correct.
It?
Correct. Think about the blue line goes from Pineville to UNCC. This would go from Matthews to the airport.
And for years, we've been vacillating between bus and light rail down Independence. Why have we settled on light rail? Why does that make more sense now that you've looked at it?
Well, twice we recommended bus rapid transit to our board, but the community requested us to continue to look at rail. And then in 2014, our board directed us to define a rail corridor.
When you say the community, who is that?
So neighborhoods up and down Independence, Monroe, the town of Matthews, we're all supportive of light rail.
Are these officials or are these just rank-and-file citizens who come to meetings to talk about this with you? Is that who it is?
Much community and civic involvement.
So how many people does that constitute? I'm trying to get a handle on when you say the community, because I know I've been to some of these meetings, and there's a handful of people in them. So these become the influencers?
So over the course of the Silver Line study that we wrapped up in 2016, we had outreached over like 1,500 people at public meetings because we have large-scale public meetings, but most of our outreach is at the neighborhood level. So you may not see us at these large meetings at the public, but when I go to, say, Oakhurst, Amity Gardens, the neighborhoods along the corridor, I'm speaking directly to the neighborhood.
Okay. And there seems to be more support than there is lack of support.
There's a lot of support for a light rail along that corridor.
Do you hear from naysayers?
Sure, always. You always will hear people who have a different opinion.
Okay. There have been questions about how the Silver Line would make its way into uptown, the leg from Matthews to uptown. How does it get in? And now there's some question about how do you get out and go toward the airport. And one of the things that I have heard about in this plan is the tunnel. Is that where the tunnel comes in?
Well, one of the key areas that we have to deal with is how do we find an alignment in a rapidly growing uptown area. At the beginning of this conversation, you know, when I got here 3 years ago,
right,
the Stonewall corridor was a viable option. When I got here, there were surface lots and mounds of dirt along Stonewall. And now that entire corridor has almost been completely redeveloped, to the point where we can no longer look at that as a option for our rail corridors coming through the uptown. And so just as important as identifying how we get along, whether it was West or Wilkinson, we had to determine how do we connect our system in uptown. And we're looking at various options. We have not determined the final option, but two of the three or four options involve a tunnel.
So how do you make that determination? At what point do you make it, and how do you make it? And is it just one tunnel? One tunnel to get the Silver Line from where Independence hits 277 into town, and another to take it out of town and go up 74 or Wilkinson Boulevard, rather, to the airport? How does that work?
Well, sure. Right now we're looking at four main options for our uptown. As John stated, one is a tunnel that would go through the length of uptown, but the others are how do we use the Lynx Blue Line, leverage that infrastructure that's in place? What do we think about Trade Street and interlining with, say, the City Lynx Gold Line? And another option would go around 12th Street to Graham. And I'd just like to make note that all of our options do work with the Charlotte Gateway Station as a stop along the line.
I have so many questions about what you just said, but let's start with the Gateway Station, because you broke ground on that on Friday of last week. The Gateway Station will bring Amtrak passenger rail into town. It will move the station from where it is now on North Tryon across the street from Channel 9 into the uptown area. Would now be the time then to decide on whether you're going to do a big dig and put a tunnel under the ground under that station? Wouldn't now be the time for that?
Absolutely. I mean, believe it or not, we do coordinate these efforts, and there's a little bit of method to our madness in that regard. We're really excited about the options that the Gateway Station will bring us, not only to bring the busiest Amtrak station in North Carolina into uptown. Imagine the regional connections that will provide. It also will connect to inner city bus with Greyhound and with CATS bus system and with these future rail alignments. And so we will have two major hubs at Gateway and the Transit Center. The Transit Center will continue to provide connections with the Blue Line. And then the two entities will be connected with our Gold Line streetcar.
How will Amtrak get into town? On the surface, or will there be bridges, or will it be underground?
Sure, there's actually work going on right now to improve the track and bridge to allow Amtrak to have a platform in uptown Charlotte.
So it won't be stopping traffic?
No, it's already grade separated.
It's already, right now, it's freight rail that comes through along that Graham Street corridor, and this will be probably one of the most intensive, highly coordinated projects, because we have to improve three bridges so that we can separate our freight rail action with future passenger rail. So we'll be widening three bridges while in a manner that allows car traffic to continue to operate in uptown.
When you say that our Amtrak station on North Tryon is the busiest passenger rail station in the state, what does that mean? How many people ride the train? This is a valid question, I think. How many people ride the train?
Well, annually, I've seen numbers up to several hundred thousand people a year utilize that station. And it's a nice, quaint little station on North Tryon. Imagine what it will be when we bring it into uptown.
Actually, it's a pretty embarrassing little station on North Tryon. The tunnel is described as the most expensive way to bring the light rail into or out of town. And there are three other options that you're looking at, including sharing the Gold Line streetcar tracks for a portion of the. And I think it starts where? On the
On the eastern side, near McDowell.
And it would take you around the hospital up?
No, we would come out of Independence and enter inside of 277 near McDowell Street. So, but we're still looking at how we would enter that.
Okay. So if it were possible to run light rail on the streetcar tracks, which is what you're proposing to do, at least for a portion of the route, why do we have a streetcar? Why isn't that light rail?
Well, we're moving to modern streetcar, and so they're essentially the same vehicles. When we can finish construction of phase two of the Gold Line, the cars will look exactly the same, from the Blue Line cars to the Gold Line cars. We've been operating a vintage, you know, historic trolley for a number of years, but the plan is to move them into modern streetcars. So the vehicles will be the same, and there'll be that interoperability.
So wouldn't it make sense to use the inner city portion of that line as a streetcar, but use the rest of it when it leaves town as light rail?
That's part of what the study is trying to identify.
I see, okay.
Yeah. And there's two different markets. You know, the Gold Line serves a more neighborhood market, serves the hospital, it'll go to John C. Smith, whereas this line would stretch across the entire county. So it's different markets and different populations that would use it.
And the other option is sharing a portion of the Blue Line tracks in Uptown, but there are some negatives and positives to that. The negatives are what?
Well, just knowing what you would have to do to make sure you have enough capacity to do that, the arms, the gates that close the streets would come down more frequently. So that's the kind of analysis that we're doing to understand what would that look like.
Because now they come down about every 8 minutes in rush hour, and if I read correctly and remember correctly, you're talking about if we did this, it would maybe have to come down every 3 minutes, and that would lead to all kinds of traffic congestion.
Yeah.
That would not make fans of the people would not like you very much for that. Is the tunnel the best option, in your opinion, at this point, or do you have an opinion at this point?
There are certainly options that are better than others, but we have to look at the totality of the event and, quite frankly, the affordability. Again, there are two tunnel options, the one through the majority of the city, and then coming around 12th Street to Graham would also be a smaller tunnel underneath Graham Street. And so we're evaluating those.
How do you build a tunnel under an existing city? I watched them do it in Washington when they built the subway. It was interesting, to say the least.
It is certainly not an easy project, but for those who are not familiar with it, if you've seen the movie Journey to the Center of the Earth, the bores look like that.
Yeah. The Observer reported that this tunnel would cost about $1 billion, with a B, $1 billion. But I believe, John, you told WFAE's David Borach, you're not sure where that number came from. So what do you think the tunnel would cost?
Again, we can put round numbers on the cost, and it depends on the length of the option. But until you get into really in-depth engineering, it would just be a best guess.
And so when you say, and I think the figure I've seen is $6 to $8 billion to build this out by 2030, is that tunnel figured into that number, or is the tunnel extra?
The tunnel is outside of that.
Whoa. CATS has been working on ways to get commuter rail first, and now you're talking about light rail, I believe, to Lake Norman. At first you were talking about using the Norfolk Southern tracks, but as you got the same kind of resistance from that railroad on the Blue Line to the south, you've been getting that same kind of resistance from them as you want to go toward Huntersville. And you've offered other options, including light rail on different tracks. Now you're getting resistance from people in places like Huntersville. Why?
Well, it is very clear that the best alternative is the O-line, which has been the preferred alignment. And that is the O-line, which is the Norfolk Southern corridor that runs through the towns of Huntersville, Cornelius, and Davidson. The challenge is, as you've alluded to, we don't own the corridor. And right now, sharing freight and passenger rail along that corridor doesn't fit in with that private entity's business plans. And I get that. And so what we have tried to offer is to find a plan B. We're continuing the conversations with Norfolk Southern. They have been a great partner to us. I mean, we operate on part of their railroad on the Blue Line. But we have to realize they're a private company that has a different goal for their business. So we are looking for other options just in case that conversation doesn't work out.
And I believe you have three other options as proposed by your consultant, WSP. What are those three options?
So we have three options, two of which would be on Statesville Avenue, Statesville Road through the towns, U.S. Highway 21. And that's a bus rapid transit option on that corridor, as well as light rail. And we're also looking at ways to maximize the use of the express lanes on 77, a bus rapid transit option there as well.
And what has been the reaction to those plans from people up north?
So we're still early, and we just had one meeting last week in Cornelius. I think that there's a recognition that the people want some relief from congestion up there. And implementation of a project sooner is certainly things that we have heard.
Do you need their buy-in to do what you want to do? I mean, if they say, no, we don't want anything but the O-line, the original plan, can you still proceed with whatever you want to do?
No. There probably could be an option where you could see that, but I'm not sure that could be realistic. Number one, this plan will require additional funding, and we will have to go back to the citizens of this region and have that conversation. So I don't see how you are successful, how we can be successful in that manner if we're going to alienate a significant portion of the population.
So now you're talking about light rail to Matthews, which used to be bus. The option used to be bus, but you decided that's not the best option. And you're talking about light rail all the way out to Belmont. It would seem antiquated to put buses up to Huntersville as opposed to rail if you could make it work. And if Huntersville would say yes to this, there's another component to this. If you run buses, that doesn't provide the kind of transit-oriented development that we've seen with the light rail.
You're exactly right in that regard. We could, particularly with the variable pricing lanes, we can move a lot of people along that corridor in very effectively. And so that'll be part of our short-term recommendations. But part of this plan and the reason why you spend billions of dollars is not just to provide mobility options, but to also spur economic development. And we've seen that very clearly along the Blue Line and the Blue Line extension. And so what a lot of these towns are looking for is to be able to capitalize on that investment.
They do want this? They want this kind of development?
I think that's why they're so strongly behind the O-Line as a preferred alternative.
Because as we've seen, this kind of the Blue Line, at least in South End, and I'm sure we're beginning to see it now on the extension to the north, brings in all kinds of apartments and other businesses and mixed-use developments and things like that. And that, not everybody in those units takes the train. They sometimes use the car. Doesn't that increase congestion very quickly?
Well, when we look at the experience of the Blue Line, people move there because they want transit options. And so they may bring their cars, but if the rail option provides the best trip, they will make that choice.
Don Lewis, the CEO of CATS. We're coming back with more of this conversation in a moment at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. I'm Mike Collins. Join me and She Says podcast host Sarah D'Elia for a special public conversation, Beyond, She Says, Sexual Assault in Charlotte. That's Thursday, August the 2nd at 7 p.m. at McGlowan Theater at Spirit Square. Registration at WFAE.org. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about CATS transit expansion plans, which were announced last week, which will take the light rail from Matthews to Belmont and hopefully something up toward Lake Norman and out to the airport, etc. John Lewis is here. He is the CEO of CATS. Jason Lawrence is a project manager and has been involved in the planning for these lines for 18 years. So he knows it like the back of his hand. Let me share some of things that have been coming in from listeners as we've been talking. Stephen emails, why can't CATS still use the Norfolk Southern track right-of-way but build an elevated railway above the track? We could purchase the air rights above the tracks. The rail platforms could be elevated and reached by a simple staircase and elevator. No cost to that.
Well, we'd still have the challenge of Norfolk Southern not only owns the ground, they own the air rights to that also.
And they wouldn't give that to you?
I would believe that would be an even more difficult conversation. Okay. Because they still have to run freight rail along that corridor.
Can you expand the rights out to the left or right?
Well,
of their track?
That's part of what we were looking at. But if, think about it. Anyone who lives or works or is driven through there, there are homes and building and businesses really close to that right-of-way.
Rick emails, how important will bike pedestrian options be for our transit future and for Mecklenburg County to live up to its commitments for a complete greenway network that connects rail to trail and city bike pedestrian corridors by 2030?
Well, I think talking about that whole holistic planning is critical to the success of the project. We see how popular the rail trail is, such that when we did the Link Silver Line planning, we included a rail trail with that recommendation. Mm-hmm. And our planning for these corridors will include what's that bike ped infrastructure that goes with the project. So it's critical.
Moss emails, I have read that Katz needs another source of revenue to construct the three corridors, which presumably would have to be approved by the General Assembly. What sort of reaction to the proposed plan have you received from state legislators? We're going to talk about funding for all this, but let's talk about that now then, I guess. What about it?
Sure. There it is. One thing is very clear. We have to diversify our revenue sources. Right now, we are looking at those sources that we can adjust and deal with and come up with locally. And so we're going to have a conversation about value capture here locally. And so what is as we continue to build out our rail system and there is development along there, what are the incremental property tax revenue that comes into the city and county as a result of that? And should not a portion of that new tax revenue be invested back into the system? I think so. I will be working very closely with the city council to potentially have that as a revenue source. And then we'll have the conversation with the General Assembly about a regional tax source.
Okay. Gene emails, that Amtrak station is a blight on the city. Raleigh just opened a beautiful new station. Well, you're taking care of that. Janet emails, finally, we have some forward thinking. We are foolish if we don't consider this. If we really want to be a world-class city, this is a must. Let's talk about this money thing. I've seen figures from $5 to $7 billion. That sounds low to me.
Well, when we look at it, and it's probably closer from 6 to 8. But when you look at just the per mile cost of the Blue Line extension, which we just opened, which is around $120 million, and you just draw lines on a map. So from the length from Matthews to the airport, from from Davidson into Uptown, and add the numbers together, you're in that $7 billion range, and you give it a little cushion there. But again, until we get into design and engineering, that's just a best guess.
Well, we used to live in a country where everything was possible, and we could do just about anything, including sending men to the moon, but that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And these proposals come at a time when transit systems across the country are facing obstacles and naysayers. So let's talk about some of that. Metropolitan transit systems used to have access to federal dollars. Is that the case today?
Well, we look at the Blue Line extension, which we just opened in March. The funding arrangement for that was 50% federal, 25% state, and 25% local. We're still trying to figure out what the federal participation will be. And it's the state has made it clear that their participation will be no higher than 10% on these projects moving forward. So we've got to look at different ways of funding and delivering. I think the private sector will have to play a role in that moving forward.
And why is the state so negative on that? The state's tried to kill a project near Raleigh, and that's where the legislators exist. So why are they so negative on transportation and mass transit?
You know, I'm going to leave that question for the elected representatives of our area. Okay. I haven't been here long enough, Mike, to offer an opinion on that.
So meanwhile, the conservative Koch brothers have been backing groups around the country who oppose transit. They worked through a group called Americans for Prosperity in Little Rock to fight a proposed sales tax increase there worth $18 million to fund a bus and trolley network in that city. In Memphis they did this, and I think, well, it's Memphis and Little Rock. They're executing similar campaigns in Phoenix, in Michigan, in Utah, and in Nashville, Tennessee. And in Nashville, they succeeded in overcoming what appeared to be a transit plan that had tremendous popular support and the support of a very popular mayor in that city. Do you fear that Charlotte and Katz is on their radar?
I would not be surprised if we were not, but I think the conversation in here in Charlotte is no longer about should we do this or not. Again, as many times as I've been in the community, I very rarely get, you should not build this system. The questions I get are, when are you going to get it done? Mm-hmm. And we've already had that conversation here in the community about whether or not the half-cent sales tax should exist. The original half-cent sales tax passed, I believe, about 52 to 48. There was a very well-funded effort, whether it was the Koch brothers or otherwise, to overturn that just before the blue line opened, and it failed 70 to 30. So I think we're beyond should we conversation in this community. It's about when are we going to get the projects done.
That half-cent sales tax helped to build the blue line. Does it also work to maintain the blue line? Is that what it's used for now?
Yes, it is. It pays for construction, operation, and future maintenance.
So are we looking at another half-cent for each of the additional lines that come in here over time?
If we want to meet that 2030 deadline, we'll have to have another infusion of revenue in order to jumpstart that.
The Koch brothers, getting back to them, cloak their drive to defeat transit plans by citing freedom. They cite Americans' desire to go where they want, when they want, in the vehicle of their choice, which means cars, not public transport. And they say that public transit wastes taxpayer money on unpopular, outdated technology, even as technology is moving us toward driverless cars. Of course, the Koch brothers have interests in oil and gas and the manufacture of tires and asphalt and seatbelts and other automotive parts. How do you combat that, though? Because these people are very influential and very wealthy.
Sure. Well, there's nothing that beats free money in that regard. And so to the extent that they continue to fund these campaigns, we're going to have to deal with their influence. But I think what has been very clear across the nation, when you put together a plan that meets the needs of the communities, people are willing to invest. We've proven that here in Charlotte. Atlanta, there have been many successful ballot initiatives. Atlanta just raised additional revenue for their rail system. Dallas is on a very ambitious plan. Seattle, Los Angeles, there are a lot of successful ventures out there. For us here, and I think when you're looking at what the future holds, technology question for autonomous vehicles is the easiest part. The difficult question and the unknown in that is, when will Americans be ready to make massive changes in their commuting habits? And I'm not sure when that will happen, because when you look at, I think the autonomous vehicle experiment is going to go the same way the transit networking, the Ubers and Lyfts are. In many areas, in the short term, it has tremendously increased traffic. Because when you and I drive our cars to work in the morning, that car sits for 8 to 10 hours until we're ready to move it. What is happening now is these cars are just trolling around cities and regions looking for the next ride, and traffic congestion has increased. One thing about rail, we're in our own corridors. That trip from one end of the city to the other is the same time today as it will be in 10 years, as it will be in 20 years, rain, snow, sleet, or shine. And what people are looking for is efficient transportation modes.
So there's this venture capitalist by the name of Frank Chen, who in an interview with the New York Times pleaded, don't build a light rail system now. Please, 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 please don't. Four pleases. He's among a chorus of people who believe that rail locks us into old technology, just as new technology is on the cusp of breaking through. And you talked about this, autonomous cars, driverless vehicles. And he also includes undocked bicycle sharing things, which we now have in Charlotte, not just the docked bikes, but the ones you just pick up and leave on the corner, and scooters, which he talks about as well. Do you worry that your vision of 2030 will be eclipsed by technology that is just in its nascent stage and technology that we don't even know about yet?
Well, I think what's missing is the actual development that occurs with the light rail stations. I mean, the kind of places we create with these corridors cannot be created through an autonomous vehicle or a dock share. That's a big piece of what we're trying to do is create a community for different choices.
Let me get your reaction to this. There's a guy named Randall O'Toole. He's a senior fellow with the Libertarian Cato Institute, and he says, or he expects, that by 2030, most transit agencies are going to be zombie agencies that exist mainly to collect taxes from people to pay down their debt. I presume he means on systems that they built that no one cares about.
Yeah, interesting opinion on that. Look, I think Jason brings up a very good point. This is people when they're talking about the negative side of that, and those who are naysayers only talk about the mobility options. And so when you that quote that you brought up was all about people's choices and how they move. But the reason why, one of the reasons why we invest in rail transit is because of the development that comes along with it. And the conversation that we're having with the northern towns of Huntersville, Davidson, and Cornelius, if this was just about providing people mobility options, then we'd just do bus rapid transit along 77. They want to develop a community in place and take advantage of the economic development that comes along with it.
So we, because we live in it, don't really see how the world around us has been built. And it's been built since the early part of the century, of the previous century, on the automobile, and using that as a way to get around. And roads have been subsidized, and zoning ordinances have been passed to make automobile traffic the way to go. And we've just accepted this. You're saying there's another alternative. We just have to change our thinking?
Well, I think it's happening.
Do we want to change our
thinking? It's happening around us. The reason and that people are moving into the reason why these developments are happening are because people want to live in places where they have mobility options, whether that is the car, the bicycle, pedestrians, whatever.
But people today want to live in those options. I will give you, just for the sake of argument, I will give you that. There's a large segment of the population today, millennials particularly, who want that. What happens in 30 years when maybe a new group of people come along who don't want that? You've locked them into something with rail because it's permanent, unlike roads, which we all want to take that road out, put it over here.
I'm not sure of a road that's been taken out and moved somewhere else. It's the same question. You know, development patterns will change, and we will continue to evolve as roads have.
We're not removing choices. We're
right.
Adding choices.
So you have given us other options here because there are, and you've given us counter arguments to the naysayers here. But a Portland-based transportation consultant also points out that highways today carry about 2,000 cars per lane per hour. Autonomous vehicles might quadruple that, which means congestion, to 8,000 cars per lane per hour, while the best rail systems can carry more than 50,000 passengers per lane per hour. Doesn't that shut down the argument?
It, from a number standpoint, it's obvious. But again, what we're trying to do is provide people with options. And until, you know, even with the advent of the car, people are still looking for other options. Their time is their most important resource, and they will move to what is the most efficient option for them.
If you were to able to put all of these transit lines in the plan online tomorrow, if they all started working tomorrow, would we notice a reduction in traffic?
I think people are, again, looking for options. I think to the individuals who are making use of those rail lines, they will certainly say their quality of life has been enhanced.
Donald Trump, the candidate, talked a lot about infrastructure and having America's miserable infrastructure and the need to improve it. The president, Donald Trump, however, has been reducing funding for transit-related grants. Have you or other transit leaders been in touch with the Trump administration about this?
We continue to have conversations and work with the federal resource agencies in Washington. The good thing about it is that our congressional Representatives still believe that the our infrastructure system should be a varied system that offers mobility options, and so transit still plays a role.
I have 30 seconds. The RNC chose Charlotte for their 2020 convention. I have read that one of the reasons they chose it is because of the Blue Line, because they can have their delegates stay further out but still have easy access. How will increased revenue from the RNC help toward your goals?
Well, I think this is a goal for the city. It's an important economic development option. And our job is to at CATS is to support that through mobility.
CATS is seeking people's feedback. You can give it to them online, and I'm trying to find the web address right now. Where is it? Linksystemupdate.metroquest.com. We'll put that on our website. John Lewis, CEO, Jason Lawrence, project manager of CATS. Thanks. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.